We welcome you back to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We are in the midst of a five-part series talking with the individual supervisors. This weekend, we're joined by District 3 Supervisor Anaya Kirk. Supervisor Kirk, during the first segment, you talked a little bit about the issue of cannabis. That's something you've been very vocal on. You know, where does that issue stand right now, and are there things kind of on the horizon with that conversation?
Yeah, so with cannabis, my stance has never changed. And basically, that is the use of medicinal use. I don't think anybody has a problem with. I don't have a problem with. The issue that I have is that the legislators didn't really legislate. They kind of gave the counties the ability to either opt in or opt out of allowing large growth. So my stance has always been I want to opt out. I want the legislators to do their job. Either let us make decisions or don't. But, you know, when you have counties, some that are, some that don't, that aren't, then you kind of get to take a step back and evaluate what situations are playing out. So over the last few years, what's interesting is, you know, I was just at a CSAC conference and I was talking to, I believe it was a Humboldt County supervisor. They said that since they've allowed legal grows to take place, and when I say legal grows, I mean large grows, because here in Tuolumne County, you can grow your own pot. You can grow up to 6 plants. If you do the math, you can do 36 plants per year. So you got plenty of, you know, pot if you want to smoke it. But what I've been against is these large cultivations, these large grows in our forests. So anyways, I was talking to a Humboldt County supervisor and he said that they went, I think, from around 2,000 or 3,000 illegal grows. Now they're up to over 7,000. They can't get a handle on it. It's completely out of control. I was talking to a supervisor in Trinity County. There's a town up there that I think has housing for 200 to 300 folks. They have 3,000 people living in this little town. It's called Tent City. They're all growers. They're all doing legal grows. Some of them are legal. They don't have the infrastructure. They don't have the water. They don't have the sewage. It's a complete mess. So one of the folks at the CSAC conference, they said that the legislators thought that the cannabis thing was going to fix part of their budget as far as bringing in revenues. They're not seeing that. So my stance has been all along, let's be patient. Let's wait. Let's make the legislators do their job. But as long as I, as a county supervisor, have the chance to decide, there's no way I'm going to allow such an activity to take place in our community. It's most of my district is in the forest. So you got pollutants, you got potential fire danger. You know, if you want, you can go on my website, anayakirk.com. I have a cannabis section where I have a lot more detailed information. But as I talk to these other supervisors and as I continue to evaluate the current landscape, it's not a road that I'm willing to take our community down. So,
changing the topic again, how about the economy? How do you feel Tuolumne County's economy is doing right now, and also your specific district, District 3?
So, economy as a whole, I know we're coming out of COVID, and everybody I've talked to, everyone's doing great. So, what concerns me though is as we continue to go through these so-called variants, and as you know, governments. They haven't hinted any more shutdowns, but, you know, we did receive around $10.6 of ARP funds. Well, we have about 5.3. We're going to get another 5.3. But part of the reason why I want to hold on to some of those ARP funds is because I don't necessarily trust the national and state level politicians. I don't know if we're going to go through another round of shutdowns. So when we're talking about economy, I want to hold on to some of that monies in case our folks have to go through that again, if there's some sort of assistance we could do to help them. But I do know right now the economy is well. I know Tweenhart, the economy is well. I know, you know, one thing that I wanted to highlight too real quick is Dodge Ridge got, love Frank and Sally Helm, been up there for years, but they did sell the business. And I know the new owner, Carl, and their group, you know, they're kind of revitalizing Dodge Ridge. So that's going to bring more economy. We're talking about more snow play, which is going to be huge. So if you're driving up the 108 corridor, instead of there being all these cars and potential people to hit, there might be some more snow play. So that's more economy. I know lots of people, Airbnbs, hotels, they're back up and running. Restaurants are running. There are a few spots, you know, specifically like in Tweenhart, the Tweenhart Shopping Center, that I'd like to see some more development. And there's talk about it. And there's talk about some ideas coming, which I can't describe right now. But all in all, I think we're doing well. All in all, in my district, I think we're doing well. But again, I'm holding my breath because politically, COVID's still going on. And I want to see how the government reacts moving forward. So,
you said in the event of any potential shutdowns, just listening to you at the supervisor meetings, you're pretty opposed to future shutdowns, correct?
Yeah. Well, and thank you for this opportunity, because I want to remind people, when COVID hit, you know, 18 months ago, almost 2 years ago, We were told, I think it was at a March meeting, we were told that by June we'd have 5,000 people infected, 500 in the hospital, and like 200 dead, like within a couple months. And so I was the only supervisor who said, well, shoot, let's put CHP out, you know, on 108 outside of Jamestown and tell people don't come here if you don't live here. You know, we were seriously concerned about surge. And so I was the supervisor that was looking at the data saying, let's do everything we can to mitigate it. As the data unfolded, as I started looking at other countries and other case studies and just the data, you know, everything changed for me. So people know where I stand on it. I've been more concerned about the overall public health effects of closures and what's going on with our kids. And, you know, there's so many other things that I feel like we're missing that I've been vocal about. But I think really where the cat came out of the hat was when the government decided to mandate vaccines. Again, I won't go into it too much, but I think a medical decision should be between a doctor and that patient. I don't think it should be between a few public health officials at the national and state and local level. I think it's a decision that should be made in confidentiality between a person and their doctor. And I think anything other than that is coercion. And, you know, we could go into the science, we could go into the data. It's not a vaccine like the smallpox vaccine, which is sterilizing and stops the spread. It's a vaccine that doesn't stop the spread, and it's a vaccine that requires boosters upon boosters. And we're not talking about natural immunity, and there's so many other preventative measures. I have hand witnessed preventative measures in friends' lives and in my own family's lives where I had one family member that we probably almost would have lost, but we did other measures with another doctor and saved their life. So I don't like to be the politician supposedly that gets up and has other thoughts or other ideas. You know, some board members think that we should leave it to the hands of public health to make these decisions. And while I agree with that, us as policymakers get to take that information and make policy. And that's where I drew the line. I'm not going to force policies on people based on, you know, some science and some data that I don't necessarily agree with. So that's where the rubber's kind of hit the road. That's where there's been some clashing specifically was with the mandates. And someday I do hope this will be behind us and we can move on with more important matters. But as it stands, I don't think there's anything more precious than our children and more important than protecting them, but doing it with informed data and informed decisions and not being coerced. And I mean, the flu is more dangerous to our children than COVID. So, you know, what the hell are we doing mandating this on folks? And I think you're seeing the data in a lot of these parents. I mean, what's more important? Should our kids be in school getting educated? Is that healthy? Is that something good for our community? Absolutely. It's not going to be pulling kids out for something that you know, parents don't feel they need to inject into their child. So I'm sure I'm going to get a lot of love after this interview, more love, but I think for the most part, people know where I stand, and I'm not budging unless data changes my opinion. So
when the state comes down with those directives, like you mentioned, the school children, you know, is there things that can be done at a county level to change that?
Well, it is a state level thing. But as a county, as somebody who represents constituents, I feel like I have a duty and obligation to represent them. So I'm sending letters, writing letters, sending emails. Excuse me. I voted no against the mandate. So there are things that we can do. There are things that other supervisors, I know Calaveras, some of their school boards have written letters to Gavin Newsom saying, you know, please look at the information. We're not going to go through with this. So each school board in our local district is going to have to make their own decision. Our Tuolumne County Superintendent of Schools, if they want to advocate on behalf of parents and write letters, if they disagree, then they can do so. But I know for me as a supervisor, I take it very seriously to do the research. And if I don't agree and there's other folks who don't agree with me, I want to represent them and send letters and advocate on their behalf. But then I'm also very aware that there's folks who I represent who completely disagree with me. And I completely get that and I respect that. But being a supervisor, you can never please everybody. And if you're trying to please everybody, you'll never move forward and do something. So I'm doing what I feel is right and what I feel is best for our community.
Need to take one more break. We're talking to Supervisor Anaya Kirk on this weekend show. He represents District 3. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Motherload Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Our final segment coming up in just a minute.